everyone, and welcome to the Live Through Jesus podcast with Courtney Gilmore. On this episode, Wise and Joyful Living. This is Ecclesiastes 8 and 9. If we're honest, we would probably all say that we kind of like the idea of karma. We're kind of rooting for the person that does the wrong thing to get what they deserve, right? And we like the idea that if we do the right thing, we'll get what we deserve. But even more than that, we like the idea of immediate consequences or rewards, not just eventually that a person would get what they deserve, but right at that moment. You know, if I do something good, then right after that, something good is going to happen to me. Or if I do something bad, then right after that, I'll receive a consequence. And if that is the case, then it motivates us to do the right thing and not to do the wrong thing. But we all know that that's not how the world works, that sometimes the bad people seem like they're having a grand old time and everything is going perfectly for them. And sometimes the people that are trying their hardest to do exactly what they should do, it seems like it's not paying off. But in eternity, it'll all turn out right in the end. Now, it's not necessarily that we get what we deserve, because if we all got what we deserved in the end, then none of us would get anything good. And so, if we really think about it, what we actually lack is the idea of grace and mercy. The fact that it doesn't matter what we do right or wrong. It matters who we trust in. That we give all of our sins to Jesus and he gives us his righteousness. And that is the way that we're able to enjoy goodness for eternity in heaven with God. Because otherwise, we would be in the same boat as all of the rest of the people that get what they deserve, because we definitely know that we do not deserve to live with a perfect God that we have, you know, disobeyed and not done what he has asked us to do for all of the years that we have lived. And so that's kind of what Solomon is talking about in the end of Ecclesiastes 8 and then in 9, kind of going through what we all know to be true. You know, it's not pleasant to hear that the bad people get what they want sometimes and the good people don't, and that we all die in the end and things like that. But it's beneficial for us to hear because we all know that it's true. And if we think that by being a Christian or doing all of the right things is going to get us the result that we want, then we don't get the result that we want, then we're going to fall away from God. Then we're going to think that he is, you know, not treating us right, and we'll be upset with him. And so it's good for us to look at all of this and see why maybe God has made the world like this and how we can rely on him. And so we're going to start today in Ecclesiastes 8:10, and it says, I have seen the wicked buried. Now, this is an indication of how he's seen the wicked honored, because you don't bury someone that you have no respect for. You know, you just are like, good, leave you out there to rot, you know. And so this is an indication of, I've seen the wicked honored, is what he's trying to say. And he says, those who used to go in and out of the holy place. And so he's saying the wicked people that appear to be righteous, that do religious activities, they are soon forgotten in the city where they did this, and this is futile. And so he says, I've seen the wicked people honored because people think that they're righteous, but they're soon forgotten. And so all of that honor was useless in the end. It was all futile. And then he goes on in verse 11 to say, because the sentence against the evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. So because it's not, like I said earlier, because we don't receive an immediate consequence for the bad things that we do, oftentimes people will continue to do the bad thing because they don't receive a consequence. And he says sometimes people like that will just be given over completely to this evil way of life because they don't have any consequences. Eventually, they are doing way more bad than good. And he says, you know, this is just a fact of life. I've seen this. And so then he goes on in verse 12 to say, although a sinner does an evil 100 times and may lengthen his life, still I know that it'll be well for those who fear God, who fear him openly. But it will not be well with the evil man, and he will not lengthen his days like a shadow because he doesn't fear God. So he's saying, even though I see that the evil people seem to often live long lives and have plenty of time to do the evil, I cannot believe that they're going to be rewarded for that in the end. In the end, I know that it will really be good for, in the end, is the people that fear God, the ones that reveal this in the way that they live. He says, show it openly. And so he says, you know, don't be discouraged basically by the fact that these people are continuing to live these long lives and continuing to be able to do the evil and aren't getting the immediate consequence, because in the end, it will not go well with them. It will only go well with the people who have trusted in God, who have given their lives over to him, the ones that fear God, that revere him and treat him with honor. And then in verse 14, it says, there is futility which is done on the earth. That is, there are righteous men to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. And on the other hand, there are evil men on whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. And this too is futility. And so he's saying, sometimes it's completely the opposite of karma. Sometimes the people that are doing the wrong thing seem to get the reward that you should get if you do the right thing. And there are people who do the right thing and they seem to suffer. And so he says, providing this, it's pointless to focus on doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing. That is, your focus is completely off. If you are planning on getting the result that you deserve for the deed that you do, then there's no point in doing it because you're not assured that. You're not assured that you will get good things if you do good things. And so that shouldn't be your focus. It's pointless if that's what you're focusing on. If you're focusing on doing the right thing so you will get a good result, then it's completely pointless for you. And so we're going to skip verse 15 because it goes better with another portion of this lesson later on. And we're going to go to 16, and it says, so when I gave my heart to know wisdom and to see the task which has been done on the earth, even though one should never sleep day or night, and I saw every work of God, I concluded that man cannot discover the work which has been done under the sun. Even though man should seek laboriously, he will not discover it. And though the wise man should say, I know, he can't discover. So he says, I realize I'm not going to understand why things happen like this on the earth. Once I'm trying to figure all this out, I realize, yeah, you're not going to get it. It doesn't make sense to you. Because if it was up to us, we would do things differently. That's what we believe. And so then he goes on in chapter 9 to say, I have taken all this to heart, and I explain it this way, that the righteous men and the wise men and their deeds are in the hands of God. Man doesn't know whether it'll be love or hatred. Anything awaits him. So he says, so providing that I don't understand this, I have to leave it up to God. I have to realize that God's the only one that knows why he's doing this, and that I can't determine whether I'm going to receive love or hatred, basically good or bad things in this life. Anything may happen as a result of what I do. I may get good things as a result of the good or bad things that I do. And I may get bad things as a result of the good or bad things I do. I just have absolutely no idea. And so this is all up to God. He's the only one that can understand why he set it up this way, basically. And then we're going to skip down to verse 11 because it talks a little bit more about this in verse 11. And it says, I again saw under the sun that the race is not for the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors, and neither is bread to the wise, or wealth to the discerning, or favor to the men of ability, for time and chance overtake them all. So he's saying it isn't predictable. You know, the fastest person doesn't always win the race. The best soldier doesn't always win the war. Wisdom is not going to ensure that all of our needs are met, you know, that we get the bread. Good decisions, being discerning, is not going to guarantee that we are wealthy. And merit, having the greatest ability, is not going to ensure that we are favored. You know, we may not be the one picked for the job or whatever, just because we're the best person for the job. That's what he's trying to say here. And so all of this taken together shows us that Solomon is saying, you know, even though I know in the end, if we trust in him for our righteousness, then we'll get what the righteous person deserves. And if we don't, then we won't. He says, I know that in the end. But from an earthly perspective, we're not going to get what we deserve. And so we might as well quit focusing on that. I'm not going to read you all of Psalm 37, but it's worth a read if you want to go and read it. But it starts out by saying, don't fret because of evildoers, and don't be envious towards wrongdoers, because they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. You know, eventually they'll get what they deserve. And so then it goes on to say, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to him, trust in him, and he will do it. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of those who prosper in his way, because the man who carries out wicked schemes. So he goes on, the whole chapter is like that, just saying, you know, don't be upset because the bad people seem to be getting good things, because God's going to take care of you in the end. And so instead of focusing on doing good things or bad things, trust in God, live with him and cultivate faithfulness, and then he will take care of you. Commit your way to him and he will give you his righteousness, and then you will eventually get what you deserve for that. And then in Romans 2, 5 to 11, it says, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, for the Jew first and then the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and then the Greek. There's no partiality with God. And so he says, in the end, you will get what you deserve. But it's going to depend upon whether you have trusted in Jesus's righteousness, whether you have obeyed the word of God, or whether you've turned away from him. That is what it's all going to depend on in the end. And then Galatians 6, 7 to 10 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we will not grow weary. So then, while we have the opportunity, let's do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so notice that he says, you will reap what you sow. But then he says, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap to the flesh. So if you are striving for the things that you deserve in this life, you'll eventually get that, but it won't be what you're looking for. But if you will sow to the Spirit, if you will plant seeds for eternity, then you will reap eternal life. And so it's not about good and bad deeds that are earthly. It is about good and bad deeds that are according to godly things, what would be pleasing to God, spiritual things. And then he says, so while you have the opportunity, do good to all people, especially to those of the household of faith. So while you're still alive, do what you can. Do the things that would be pleasing to God, that will reap godly things in the end. And that leads us to the second verse in chapter 9, where Solomon says, it is the same for all. There's one fate for the righteous and one fate for the wicked, for the good and the clean and the unclean, for the man who offers sacrifices and the man who doesn't offer sacrifices, for the man who is good and for the sinner, for the one who swears and for the man who's too afraid to swear. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one fate for all men. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil and insanity in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterward, they go to the dead. So what he's saying here is, it doesn't matter whether you're good or bad in this life, you're both going to die. You're like, thank you, Solomon. I'm glad for that bit of encouragement. You know, what is the point? And he says, we wish it wasn't so, but it is. And so basically, no reason to keep this from you, this harsh truth, because you're going to find it out eventually. You're going to realize that it doesn't matter. On this earth, we all suffer the same fate. Not only that, none of us are actually good. He says, even knowing this, you know, knowing that you will eventually die and knowing what is right, we still do evil. And that is insanity. You know, it makes no sense. We logically know what's right, and yet we're not going to always do it. And so the implication is, it's actually a good thing that you don't receive exactly what you deserve, because none of us are going to do what is right all of the time. And so in verse 4, it says, for whatever is joined with all of the living, there is hope. Surely a live dog is better than a dead lion. So he's saying, we're all going to die. So while we're alive, we need to do what we can. There's only hope for us as long as we're alive. Once we're gone, we're gone. And so it's better to be a lowly dog than it is to be this powerful lion, because you can be the most powerful person on the face of the earth, and once you're dead, you're still dead. And so it doesn't matter. And so verse 5 says, for the living know that they will die, but the dead don't know anything. They no longer have a reward because their memory is forgotten. So again, once you're dead, it doesn't matter anymore. You can only pay attention to the way that you live while you're alive. Verse 6, indeed, their love, their hate, and their zeal have already perished, and they will no longer have a share in all that is done under the sun. Whatever you love, whatever you hate, whatever you are passionate about, only matters while you're alive. No more chances after you die. And then down in verse 12, it says, moreover, man doesn't know his time. Like fish caught in a treacherous net, or birds trapped in a snare, so the Son of Man is ensnared by an evil time when it suddenly falls on him. So you have no idea how long you're going to live. And providing that, while there's still hope, do the important things. Hebrews 9:27 says, inasmuch as it is appointed to men one time to die, after that comes the judgment. Once you're dead, that's when you got no more chance to do anything right or wrong, to believe in God or not, to be kind to people or not. Whatever is done is done. And then God's going to judge you on that. And so Solomon concludes in verse 7 that we should go then and eat our bread in happiness and drink our wine with a cheerful heart. For God has already approved of these works. That means God approves of you taking pleasure in the good things that he's given to us. Verse 8 says, let your clothes be white all of the time, and let not oil be lacking on your head. Clothes be white means put on the good things, the celebration, the pure things, the things that God has given you to enjoy. And the oil is talking about taking care of yourself. So, you know, enjoy yourself is basically what he's saying here. In verse 9, enjoy life with the woman whom you love all of the days of your fleeting life, which God has given you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in all your toil which you have labored under the sun. And then back up in chapter 8, verse 15, remember we skipped that one because it talks about the same thing. And it says, so I commend pleasure, for there is nothing good for a man under the sun except to eat and drink and be merry. And this will stand by him for the toils throughout the days of his life, which God has given him under the sun. And so he's saying, enjoy your life with the person that God has given you to enjoy life with, because this is what will get you through the hard times. God has given you this reward of good things. We all enjoy common graces. And, you know, sometimes we wish that that wasn't so. We wish that the people that do the wrong things, they just always get all bad all of the time. But the problem is that we do bad things sometimes. And so we don't really want that. We want grace and mercy. And there are certain things that God has given to all people on all of the earth. You know, we all have the ability at times to enjoy good food and fellowship and friendship and socialization, times to be with people. We all have people that God has given us to spend our lives with. And he says he gave us all that so that we can get through the difficult times of life. And so you shouldn't sit here and think, well, if I'm not going to get what is coming to me until the very end, then what's the point? You know, I'm just going to have to deal with difficult things sometimes. Even though I do the right thing, sometimes I'm going to suffer. So what is even the point? I'm either going to just go ahead and do the bad things, or I'm going to sit here and suffer and hate this life until I get to heaven. And he's like, no, you don't have to do that. You can enjoy the things in this life right now because God's given those things to you so that you can enjoy this life, so that you don't have to wait until heaven, so that you can get a taste of heaven here on this earth. And then in verse 10, he says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there's no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you're going, in the grave. Once you die, then you can't do anything good. You can't know anything more. You can't figure any of these things out. And so whatever it is that you have to do in this life, do the best you can. Be passionate about it. Live life to the fullest so that you can get through the difficult things. If you'd like to receive this as a written lesson, then go to livethroughjesus.substack.com and become a paid subscriber there. With your subscription, you'll receive 4 lessons every month by email and access to all the previous lessons. And digital studies are great because all of these scripture references are linked, and so you can just click on them right from your device. You don't have to flip through your Bible, and you can change it to whatever version you want to read the lesson in. Then digital studies are also good if you'd like to do them with a group, because you only have to get one subscription, and then you can just print off all of your materials so everybody doesn't have to get their own book. And so it's only $6 a month or $60 a year, and you'll just be able to do continuous studies with me. So go to livethroughjesus.substack.com if you would like this written study. So regarding the things of this life, there's no point in focusing on right or wrong, because we're not going to necessarily be insured that outcome that corresponds with that. And so according to the things of this earth, all we can do is enjoy the good things that we have and then trust God with everything else. Know that he is going to take care of us in eternity. And so the very end of this chapter 9 says, also, this I came to see as wisdom under the sun, and it impressed me. So he says, there's another thing that made an impression on me. And then he tells this story. There was a small city with a few men in it, and a great king came to it and surrounded it and constructed large siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and he delivered the city with his wisdom. Yet no one remembered this poor man. And so I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the wisdom of a poor man is despised, and his words aren't heeded. The word of the wise, heard in quietness, is better than the shouting of the ruler among fools, and wisdom is better than weapons of war, but then again, one sinner can destroy it all the good that person has done. And so he tells this story about this king who has all this power, and he comes against this tiny little town who should be easily defeated. But instead, this one man in the town is so wise that he is able to defeat the powerful king. And so he says, this made me conclude that wisdom is more powerful than strength. It's more powerful than power. But then he says, although in saying that, I'm aware that oftentimes people don't even listen to the wise man. But then he goes back again and he says, but it's still good to be wise. It's better to be wise that may not be listened to all the time than to be this fool that's screaming and everybody hears what you have to say. But then again, I realize that one sinner can destroy all the good that you do. And so he just kind of goes back and forth, basically saying, we should pursue wisdom because a wise person can really make a difference in this world, and it pleases God for us to live wisely. But also, we need to be aware that our wisdom may go unnoticed. It's not going to last forever. You know, people are going to be able to undo it quickly, and it's not determinative of our future. And so, since we can't determine the outcome with our actions, the only thing we can do here on this earth is enjoy the gifts that God has given us here and do every single thing that we can to the very best of our ability, and then trust that God is going to make sure that it will go well for us in the end if we fear Him. Not if we do good things, but if we fear the Lord. If we fear God and we trust in Jesus, giving Him our sins, letting Him die for those things, and allowing Him to give us His righteousness, then we will live in eternity with God. Then it will be well with us in the end. That is the only thing that we can do. Focusing on doing what is right on this earth so that we will get what we want isn't going to work. And so we need to just enjoy the simple pleasures of life while we can, do everything to the best of our ability, and then trust in God. That is the only thing that is going to help us in the end. So I'm going to end with this verse in 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19, and it says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasures of the good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. And so he's saying, don't trust in the things of this world, because those are not going to be the things in the end that bring you the things that you want. But if you will trust in God, then He will give you the things that you can enjoy. Be rich in good works instead of rich in the things of this world. Because even if you do get the reward of this world, that's all you'll get. But if you are rich towards God, if you are generous and you share and you store up for yourselves godly treasures, then you will receive godly treasures. But if you're storing up for yourself earthly treasures, maybe you will receive those earthly treasures, but they don't last into the future and they don't actually give you abundant life. The only thing that will give you ability to actually take hold of this abundant life is the treasures that you store up for yourself towards God. And so don't focus on being good so that you can get good things in return. Focus on being good because it pleases the Lord, because you're trying to live this life that He gave you in the best way that you can. Focusing on Him, loving Him, storing up for yourself treasures in heaven, and than enjoying the pleasures that he's given you here on this earth. So hopefully, if you're like Solomon and you've seen that the bad people sometimes get the things that the good people deserve, and the good people sometimes get the things that the bad people deserve, and you are tempted to be discouraged, do not be. In the end, it will be well with the people who fear the Lord. So focus on that. That is the entire point of this lesson. So that's all I have for you today. Next week, we will go into chapter 10. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss that episode. Also, if you would like the blog posts that go along with these lessons in Ecclesiastes, then become a free subscriber at livethroughjesus.substack.com, and I'll email you the blog posts as I get them written. You can also go and look at all of the blog posts that I've written in the past as soon as you subscribe. And then if you want the written lesson, you can become a paid subscriber there. There were several verses that I didn't read in this lesson just because they support the theory, but they don't, you know, flow real well in a narrative. And so you can read those if you become a paid subscriber. And then join me on social media at Live Through Jesus, and I'll be posting clips from this and also scriptures from here. And then I'll just see you back next week. Thanks and have a good day. Thank you.